The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WWE delivers a very PG Extreme Rules. ROH is headed to MSG, and let's bust out the parkas in the land of Lucifer, because Hulk Hogan is back in the WWE. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday night's main event. I'm your host, Jason Agnew, and joining me tonight, the Shawn Michaels to my Marty Jannetty, the Tugboat to my Earthquake, the Akeem to my Big Boss Man, yes, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, is live right here in studio. We're going to run down tonight's Extreme Rules pay-per-view and then be taking lots and lots of your calls, so get your dialing fingers ready at 1-866-729-2562. That's 1-866-729-2562. Send your tweets to at SNME Radio, or your Facebook feedback can be put up at the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Plus, we've got Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer Extra, Turnbuckle Trivia, and a very special announcement about the future of this radio show. Guys, we're on at 11 p.m.
We did it.
What's happening? Taking a break, coming on back to run down WWE Extreme Rules right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event with Jason Agnew.
This is my yard now.
On TSN Radio.
Incredible match. Both of you, incredible match. But nothing is settled. I know the WWE Universe does not want to see a tie. I know that my hometown, Pittsburgh, PA, does not want to see a tie. So don't get back in that ring, because we're going into sudden death overtime.
Hell yeah!
Next fall wins.
One, two.
Wait, oh, what's McIntyre doing?
McIntyre!
What the hell is McIntyre? He was banned. Here's Ziggler. You gotta be kidding me!
And that was your main event tonight: the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes. Yes.
In the main event, of course, the other voice that you are hearing right now, Dan the Mouth Lavransky, is here live in studio with Sunday night's main event. Mouth, how are you?
I'm good, Jay. I'm very good. Lots to talk about coming out of this pay-per-view. It was a very different kind of pay-per-view with the short matches, weird angles, and a definitely very strange finish to that main event.
Yeah, and, you know, if you think about that, and we will get there, but, you know, Kurt Angle comes out to restart that match, and then right after that, we have interference.
Yeah, and he does nothing.
No,
he
that doesn't nothing. Matter. That doesn't
guess,
matter, right?
I guess not. No, I guess not.
What a weird show this was,
it was
tonight.
It was.
A very PG WWE Extreme Rules, right?
Yeah, like, I was surprised going into this, because only had, what, three matches with any kind of weird stipulations on them. And it really just seemed like another show, you know? And Extreme Rules is supposed to be kind of a special thing. They go a little bit crazy. And I suppose for the safety of the talent, it was good. But I don't know if a lot of fans really enjoyed it that much, because you didn't really get very many stipulation matches. And one of them was on the pregame.
Yeah, it was on the pre-show. We had the tables match on the pre-show tonight. I mean, if you think about it, this is one of those things where WWE has a pay-per-view named, like, Hell in the Cell. Mm. And they're forced to put a Hell in the Cell match on it. Well, tonight we had that same type of thing. Really, there was no motivation for any of these, aside from maybe the cage with Kevin Owens continually running away. But even with that, Mouth, if you think about it, he was running away, and the way to win that match is running away.
And the way, well, we'll get to the finish, but the way the match ended was actually kind of, that match didn't make sense the way it ended either.
No, there was a lot of that tonight. I think we're going to hear the phrase,
didn't make sense.
If you want to get in on it tonight, we will be taking your phone calls right after we run down this pay-per-view show, and it's 1-866-729-2562. We know that on pay-per-view nights, you guys have just finished watching. We're on time at 11 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes, it is. It's good.
As much as I crap about WWE when they're late, this is nice. We're on at a regular time. So let's get into it. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania was the terrible crowd tonight. Charlie Caruso kicks things off tonight. Right off the top here by saying that WWE, and we learned this afternoon, WWE has reinstated Hulk Hogan into the WWE Hall of Fame. He was backstage. He was palling around with
everyone
tonight.
Gave it an emotional speech, I guess. All the wrestlers were welcoming him back. It sounded like a big deal.
Well, we'll find out what this deal is.
Tomorrow night, I'm guessing.
You think that he's going to pop up in Buffalo?
Tomorrow night in Buffalo, we see the return of Hulkamania. That's my prediction.
All right, well, we will find that out tomorrow. Tonight, we did not see him on the actual show. All this news broke this afternoon, though. This show, however, started off, of course, tonight at 6 p.m. is when our pre-show started, and we started with a match mouth. And, I mean, I don't know if you heard a couple weeks ago, but I went off on this match about Andrade Cien Almas, who I loved in NXT.
Yes.
He came up, and all of a sudden, he got into a feud with Sin Cara, backstage vignette. You know what? That makes total sense with the Luchador angle there. They know each other.
Yep.
Okay, fine, whatever. Let's have a match. They hold off for 3 months. Then we get it on SmackDown. Well, that's not good enough, Mouth, because we get it again tonight.
Well, that's the thing. We got it on SmackDown this week.
Yeah.
So, you know, like 3 or 4 days later, there it is again. Yeah.
And he was on the pre-show. And what really got me here is Corey Graves goes on about Almas has really taken SmackDown by storm. Yeah, what type of storm is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This match was basically
I can't
the same
say actually
thing.
What kind of storm it is on the radio.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Nope. That's for the podcast, and we'll talk about those a little bit later. This was a very basic match. Sin Cara
yep.
botched her and Ken Rana, but same result as SmackDown. No need for this.
Yeah, hammerlock DDT by Andrade there, and that's it. Done. 7 minutes. Nothing else to talk about.
Next up, we had an extreme match, a tables match for that matter, and it was the New Day versus Sanity. I got to say, I loved what they did and how they used Team Hell No and the Usos on SmackDown to kick things off this week. I thought it was a really nice combination of all of these teams working together. Mm. I think this is the right feud for Sanity.
Oh, yeah.
There's three of them. There's three of the New Day. The Sanity are the new act. New Day are the old act. This is excellent. However, this match, again, the motivation is what I question here of a tables match, and I say why.
Well, that's it. Exactly. There was no reason to really do it, and it wasn't much of a match. They kind of worked over Big E. He was the one they kind of picked on and beat up, and the finish was very simple. Wolf had Kofi tied up in the ropes on the apron. Young came off the top rope with an elbow and put Kofi through the table for the win. 8 minutes long. Again, it was a tables match, but not really a crazy one at all.
This feud is going to be something that continues on, and as it should, actually. They're in the right spot to do this. We then see Ronda Rousey and Travis Brown backstage, and that takes us into the pay-per-view tonight. And our first match on the pay-per-view is the Raw Tag Team titles, the B-Team, versus Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, who are, of course, walking in as the champions. They gave these guys about 10 minutes. We have new tag team champions. I'm very surprised.
I'm not.
No?
No, I figured they were going to put the titles on these two guys. They've been kind of working the program for a while, kind of building it up. Even though it is comedy, I know with the belts and that, but I can't say I'm really that surprised. I think a lot of fans are enjoying the B-Team, the comedy of it, so I can see why they put the belts on them.
Yeah, I mean, they enjoyed the comedy of the B-Team, but I did get a lot of feedback when I was tweeting tonight about the fact that this makes the tag team titles look like a joke because you're putting them on a jokey
well,
team.
Yeah, but you know what, Jay, the titles don't mean anything anyways, really. I mean, the Raw tag titles, did they mean anything being on Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt?
No.
Okay. I believe I've made my point.
The only thing is they're a slightly more serious team, I suppose. Even though they're a wacky team, they're still a serious team.
Yeah,
this
but you know what?
This is outright mid-card comedy that you're putting it on now.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't have a problem with it because honestly, I don't think the Matt Hardy Bray Wyatt team has done anything. I don't think it's a success. I don't like the two of them together, and I don't like the way that the broken gimmick has been just pushed into this little goofy thing here, and it's nowhere nearly as effective as it was in TNA.
Well, that's because this is the woken gimmick.
Yeah.
It's not broken.
It is broken because it's not working.
Okay, you win. All right. Okay, so up next we have...
Are you keeping score, Jeremy? Yeah, I want you to keep score.
So Charlie interviews Bo and Axel at the top of the ramp. They're very funny together. They really do have
their
moments.
I like them, yeah.
They had a great speech here about the famous astronaut Stretch Armstrong.
Oh, it was great.
Hilarious. The B stands for best. It was...
Yeah, after they win, Axel goes, how does a rainbow feel? How does Stretch Armstrong feel when he landed on the moon? I loved it. I thought it was great.
Renee is then with Kurt Angle. He issues, I mean, this is him mentioning Brock Lesnar here, something we did not hear about on Raw. Brock was not mentioned on Raw whatsoever. So he issues Brock Lesnar an ultimatum saying that if he doesn't show up tomorrow night or come to an agreement upon when he'll defend the title, he will strip Brock Lesnar of the title. So I guess we'll be seeing Raw Brock in Buffalo tomorrow.
I like this, and I can understand why they're doing it, because Raw last week had one of its lowest ratings ever, and they also have the Derby. They're up against the Derby tomorrow night as well, so they need to get people interested in that Raw tomorrow night. So I liked it that they have this idea of Brock coming in, and we'll find out finally what's happening.
Okay, so up next... I think the crowd at this point was kind of hyped up. They enjoyed the B-team winning.
Yes.
There was a big pop for the B-team winning.
Yes, there was.
There was the absolute opposite of that for these two guys in the ring. This angle's terrible. Baron Corbin versus Finn Balor. Why don't you just talk about Corbin's attire and how much you
hate it. I hate it. Why is he not? Okay, he's Stephanie's special constable to watch over Angle. Fine. When they're in the office, fine. Wear a suit, dress up, whatever. You're in a wrestling match. You should have trunks on. I really hate it when guys, these type of characters, and then they wrestle in regular street clothes. I just think it looks stupid.
That is your take on fashion tonight. I will have mine a little bit later on. So Balor wins when Corbin goes for the end of days, and Balor gets a roll-up. I thought this was a really cheap win for Finn Balor, and honestly, I expect to see Corbin come out tomorrow, show videotape of the fact that he was not pinned, his shoulders weren't down, they were both pinned, etc.
Yeah, when they showed the replay afterwards, it was blatantly obvious that the one shoulder wasn't down. So you could very well be right. They might go in that direction. Yeah, I just feel so bad for Balor, man. They brought him in. He did that great run where they had him win the Universal title. Then, unfortunately, he got hurt. And ever since he's come back, they've just put him in a bunch of silly programs that haven't really helped him in any way. And this one, certainly not. And I don't think it did anything to help get the crowd. I think it kind of killed the crowd.
Oh, it definitely
a little bit.
Did.
Yeah.
Definitely. And the worst part is this feud will continue.
Yeah, yeah.
The cameras are backstage. The Bludgeon Brothers are taking out Team Hell No. They leave them laying. Rowan uses a mallet to smash a door into Kane's knee. And we'll find out what happens later.
Ooh, this is where we were all kind of thinking, is this where Hulkster makes his return? Does it come out and help Daniel Bryan?
As Jeremy said, the team name could be Real American Dragon.
Yeah.
SmackDown Women's title is next. When we talk about comedy, it continues on here.
I'll say,
Carmella's
yeah.
Carmella's your champion going in versus Asuka. Of course, this is all based around James Ellsworth. He's suspended above the ring in a shark cage. Unlike Jericho, he is a not-so-sexy pinata. The gimmick is Ellsworth is just dropping stuff down to Carmella. There was a chain, there was a hairspray bottle, but neither one could be used because Asuka thwarts the efforts.
Right.
Then he kind of escapes the cage but ends up hanging from one leg.
Yeah, he actually had a key. Ladies and gentlemen, they put the guy in the cage to keep him out of the match, and the guy has a key to the friggin' cage.
Did he have a key or did he pick the lock?
He had a key, okay. Jay. He had a key.
Okay.
Okay, like, come on. Like, honestly, I understand it's comedy, but that was just out and out stupid. And then he got caught up in some strap that was dangling out of the cage, and he was actually falling, hanging out of the cage by his leg. And, of course, Asuka came in, gave him some kicks. Then security came in and put him back in the cage. But then Asuka threw him out, so all she could do was beat him up some more. Then Carmella ran in, pushed Asuka into the cage, smashed her head off the cage, and Carmella pinned her. It was good in the fact that Carmella didn't have to work a lot in this match. It had tons of smoke and mirrors, but I thought it made Asuka look kind of like a idiot.
It completely did, and that's my point here. If you notice, there was that moment where she's standing in the corner just staring at Ellsworth, so not attacking Ellsworth, just waiting for Carmella to hit her from behind and push her. It makes Asuka has been made to look so
terrible,
dumb.
Yep, terrible.
Just a dumb baby face, yep. Which is death.
Yeah.
Death.
Yeah. And then she went nuts at the end as well. After she went after the security guys again and beat up Ellsworth and put him in the Asuka lock. So I'm guessing this silliness continues as well.
I would think so. Carmella, the champion of the women's division, yet to have a decent match.
And I don't think ever will. They're all going to be smoke and mirror matches.
U.S. title match is next. This was interesting. Your champion going in, Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Before the bell rings, Nakamura hits Hardy with a low blow when he's turned around. The bell then rings after Hardy's given a bit of time to recover. Need a face, new champion. I was very surprised. And this is not bad at all.
No, I have no, again, you know, I was we were talking earlier in the week, and we're like, there's 11 matches on this show. Are they going to get through it all? Well, when they condense things down like this, it certainly gives them a better chance of getting through it all. But I thought it was certainly for a heel win. I thought it was cool. But then what they did afterwards was kind of bizarre, because after it was all done and finished, Randy Orton's music hits, who we haven't seen for a super long time because he's been out with an injury, and he starts walking down the ramp, and you think he's probably going to do something with Nakamura, but he actually gets in the ring, and he ends up going after Hardy, and poor Jeff Hardy gets stomped in the package once again here. So I guess it was just a way of quickly turning Orton back into a heel.
Yeah, and it didn't work.
No, well, because it's out of nowhere.
Well, it's not just that it's out of nowhere. It's the fans. I think what WWE was depending on here was the fans would have a real love for Jeff Hardy, and then by Orton turning on Hardy, you would get the reaction of them booing Orton. But I think that if you look at these two, Orton is probably the more popular performer here, because, you know, we haven't seen that much great stuff out of Hardy since he's returned.
That's
he's
true.
Been hurt.
Yes.
Then he was out for a while. You know, going for a drive.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen much out of him.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, this did come out of nowhere. I agree. I think it's better for Randy Orton. Here's a guy who's been, I would actually say, stuck playing a baby face. He doesn't enjoy it. He's openly said that. He will be a better heel. It's a better role for him. He's easily dislikable, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep.
So this should be good for him. The execution here, though. And then you had Nakamura standing on the table looking at Orton, looking very confused.
Well, he was like the rest of us.
Okay, that's also a valid point. All right. Hey, notice this. Both Hardys lost their titles tonight.
Yes.
I wonder if that's coincidence.
I don't know. Do you think it's a reunion? Do they get back together again?
Honestly, I think that Jeff Hardy would have been better served with the Brother Nero character.
Yeah.
Because I think what they wanted out of Jeff Hardy was another run as that babyface that they had seen success with before. Mm. But it didn't really come to fruition due to the elements that I brought up earlier. Yeah. And looking at the converse there, Matt Hardy and the pairing with Bray Wyatt was definitely not as successful as we could have seen with Brother Nero and Woke and Broken Matt,
right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that they really missed on this, as the WWE tends to do when they deal with things that aren't their own creation.
Right. And the other thing I think coming out of this match too is Jeff Hardy really, I mean, we know he's physically banged up. He must be in pretty bad shape, because I'm thinking he really he didn't do anything, right? So he must be in pretty rough shape.
And again, I think that this was a good way to strengthen Nakamura, and I think he needed something like this, so not a bad decision.
But we'll see what gets remembered. Will the Orton thing get more attention than Nakamura winning?
Well, here's the thing. On SmackDown, they've already announced that we're getting a rematch. Hardy will be wrestling Nakamura on SmackDown, despite what this what we thought would be an injury. So who knows? Hopefully his package recovers. That was the most extreme thing on tonight's show.
I think you might have to do that, though, just because with the Orton return the way it was done, Nakamura, even though he finally got a big title win, he's kind of pushed to the side in this, because I think people are going to remember the Orton thing more.
Possibly. Although it was such a good finish. It was a good
way of doing
things.
I wouldn't have added the Orton thing.
Me neither.
I would have saved it for Raw or something else. Why did it have to be placed right there? Because I think it takes away from Nakamura's win. And what have we been talking about, or you've been talking about for weeks, is that he needs that big win, right? And he didn't. He got it, and then the focus shifted right away from him right away. So I don't know how good that's going to be.
Steel cage match was next here on the card. Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens. Once again, we talked about this. So it's Kevin Owens who's been running away from Braun Strowman in a cage, which makes sense. But you can win by running away. The whole thing here, this match is nothing more than a build to Kevin Owens being tossed off the top of the cage. onto an announcer's table, not the Spanish announcer's table, the real announcer's table.
Oh, no, that's right. No, that was the German one later. That's
yeah,
right.
It
sorry.
It was actually the WWE main announcer table. Okay, so let me ask you this. This is obviously, Mel, the very spectacular spot that we saw here, going off the top of the cage onto the announcer's table. But to me, it's not motivated.
Well, it doesn't make sense in terms of your story at all, because the idea is the person who wins the cage match is the first person to get out of the cage
and
touch the floor. Exactly. As soon as he throws him off the top of the cage like that, he wins the match. So, and it wasn't like they were presenting Strowman being so upset and crazed and psycho that he didn't realize what he was doing, right? So, I don't know. I thought it was kind of weird and just kind of a silly finish and a pretty big spot to take in a match that honestly is going to be forgotten by, could be forgotten already.
Well, I think we're going to see replays of that bump over and over again. But right now, it just seems they're playing out Kevin Owens as a punching bag for Braun Strowman, and it's not really a role that I enjoy seeing Kevin Owens in.
And that was the other thing, too. The whole build-up for this match was, again, was more comedy. He's running away from him at Raw. He's hiding out in Kurt Angle's office and all this kind of stuff.
The toilet. And I can't forget
exactly.
The toilet.
Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, so we're going to put him in the serious Extreme Rules match, but I don't know. It just didn't really work for me for either one of them.
SmackDown Tag Team titles are next. The Bludgeon Brothers versus Team Hell No. At least that was who was scheduled in. Daniel Bryan comes to the ring alone. They do
okay,
not
now wait a second.
Kane.
Why would Paige, as the general manager of SmackDown, allow him to go out there and fight on his own? Why would she do that? I mean, if they'd done a vignette where Bryan went to her and said, you know what, I know my partner's out, but you know what, I want to do it, fine. I could have maybe bought into it. But this, nothing. Like, again, I think there was a lot of really, like, they didn't really think a lot of things through, I thought, on this show.
No, I agree with you. It was, if you're going to have an authority figure in place, then you have to justify them being
there.
Well,
she was in the bathroom during this part or something? Like, come on.
So the Bludgeon Brothers just come to the ring and they do some bludgeoning on Daniel Bryan. And eventually Kane comes down for the hot tag. He's wearing a boot. He's in, you
know,
an air
boot. That was classic
boot.
Yeah, that's.
He gets a hot tag. Doesn't last long with his fury. Bryan ends up getting pinned here. It was strange.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I mean, you could have done the same thing with leaving Kane in the match. Yeah, I don't know. It was weird. The only thing I would say about this match is that one of the few times that the crowd was really into it because they still love Daniel Bryan. They were chanting.
They love Team Hell No. I mean, this has been a good comeback for nostalgia of a few years ago. I think that their comedy vignettes have been good. In a way, unlike what I said earlier about the B team getting the titles, if Daniel Bryan and Kane had taken the titles here, I would take them more seriously. Yeah. But I don't think that they can simply because, Kane's got to go be mayor.
Well, that's it exactly. So I thought that's kind of where they were heading with this, but
there was a report that came out afterwards, a WWE kayfabe report, that Kane has a broken ankle or broken leg or something like that.
They said that later in the show,
taking him off TV.
He went to the medical center.
No, he went to the hospital.
Oh, that's right. That's
they
right.
said
that's
hospital
right.
tonight.
They did actually say hospital.
Wow.
Right. Yes.
Someone is getting screamed at. There's a vignette of Roman walking around backstage. The B team is celebrating around him. He says he can. They say he can be part of the B team. If he beats Bobby tonight, then they can all go celebrate. That's all.
Yep.
Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley is not the main event tonight. There's still two more after this. The crowd tries to hijack this show. But before we get into it, what have you thought of the build to these two guys together, Mouth?
Well, I haven't really minded too much. I mean, I like the idea that it's the Bobby Lashley. You were here. I like it when things are somewhat rooted in reality, and the idea that Lashley had been there years ago and he left, and I'm here. I've been the one that's here. I'm the big dog now. You went away. You didn't do nothing, and now you're coming back. So I kind of liked that idea, and the fact that they were kind of teasing one of them would hopefully end up with Lesnar. I like that. So I mean. I, I didn't have a problem with the build for that.
It just seems like no matter what is done, because I've liked the build for this. I have been very into Bobby Lashley and I hope that they would do something with him like this, get him away from those Sami Zayn style.
Yes, that was terrible.
But it seems like any match that Roman Reigns is in, good or bad, the crowd will hijack it. They will make that attempt. They chanted, "We want beach balls." They chanted Rusev Day.
Yeah.
The crowd immediately checked out and did not give it a chance. Now, I found that in this match, Roman did get the majority of the match and he really seemed to beat up on Bobby. In particular,
yeah, with that one spot where he took him up and he threw him over the top rope, but he didn't do it in a way that Lashley could land on his back flat. He did it in a kind of, almost Lashley looked like he was going to land on his head, but he landed right on his shoulder. So hopefully he's okay from that, because that really did look like a nasty bump. That was not a good bump.
Roman goes for a spear at the end, and Lashley beats him at his own game, beating him to the punch and getting a spear.
That was great. Yeah, good fit. I agree. And it was. I think it's what the fans want. I think especially with this crowd already being antsy, if Roman had won that match, they would have gone ballistic. So I was really happy that they actually did it that way as well. And I like the fact that Lashley is gonna is the winner. And honestly, I would much rather, as we were talking about, rather see Lashley versus Lesnar than I would see him against Reigns again for like another time, right?
I agree with you.
And I think most fans want to see that too. The only thing I miss is I really was digging Lashley as a heel in TNA. I thought he had really turned the corner. He started to do good promos, and I don't like him as much in the good guy kind of role that they have him with here. But we'll see what happens. For now, I'm glad that he won, and it was a cool finish.
Raw Women's titles next. The Extreme Rules match. Alexa Bliss with Mickie James versus Nia Jax with Natalya. Okay, my fashion point now. The most extreme thing on this pay-per-view.
Yes, that's right.
Might
the
have
heels.
Been Mickie James's heels. This woman came out with 4 or 5 inch heels on. She's very talented because she can walk in these things and run in these things and do a whole bunch of athletic, you know, running around outside the ring in these things. I was astounded. Anyhow, this match was primarily centered around Ronda Rousey.
It was.
In the front row.
Yep.
Apparently, she must have found just a sweet deal on StubHub or Game
She's
Time.
She's lucky,
here.
Man. Yeah. Got some reduced tickets maybe at the last minute or whatever. Yeah.
The announcers have already made us aware that she can be here tonight, but she's not allowed to be on Raw tomorrow because she's still suspended. It's kind of a weird match. It's kind of a weird thing they got going on. This was your plunder match and lots of outside interference. And basically, it just felt like the countdown till Ronda got involved.
That's it. That's what you were waiting for. There was a spot where Mickey and Alexa double teamed Natty, and that was it. Ronda jumped the barricade. She went wild. She beat up Mickey. She beat up Alexa. Alexa even tried to escape into the crowd. Ronda stopped her, but then Mickey corked Ronda with the kendo stick. And then Nia was going for the Samoan drop with Alexa, and Mickey hit her with the chair, and then Alexa DDT'd Nia on the chair and pinned her. So Alexa keeps the title, and obviously it's going to lead towards Ronda Rousey.
Ultimately, the heels outsmarted the babyfaces here in Ronda Rousey. Alexa retains, and Nia just seemed like a conduit here for Ronda to get to Alexa.
Yep, that's you're right. I mean, that's exactly what the match was for, just to kind of set up that whole thing with those two.
Match 10, SmackDown Championship. So notice, this is not the main event tonight, friends.
Yeah.
The SmackDown Championship is your second-to-last match, and it's Rusev versus AJ Styles. This was a good match.
Yeah. In fact, I think it was probably the best match of the night.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it had logic to it. AJ was working the leg to prepare for the calf crusher.
Yeah, and Rusev did a great job selling it. And Rusev, let's just talk about how he looked. He's dropped a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he looked really good, and this was one of the best matches I've seen him in. I thought he worked really, really well with AJ on this one.
And I think that you had, you know, aside from the fall off with the Owens throw and fall onto the announcer's table, this had one of the standout moments of the pay-per-view, which should, in my opinion, have been the finish.
Yeah.
And it was a beautiful springboard 450, which hit perfectly.
Yeah, AJ just, it was amazing. And, it would have been great too, Jay, as the finisher, because we've never seen him use it as a finisher.
Right.
You know, and sometimes in the modern era, a guy gets stuck with the finisher and his match always has to end with the same finisher. And one of the things about AJ is he has 2 or 3 finishers, and I think it would have been great to push that some more, that he actually didn't win with the Styles Clash or the Calf Crusher or one of those. So I agree with you. I think the match, it would have been perfect if it ended right there. But they felt they needed to have AJ do the flying forearm off the top almost right after that and then pinned him. So, yeah, kind of strange, but good match. Rusev did a good job, I thought, and he worked really well with AJ. I guess it's probably partially a testament to AJ as well. But the two of them worked really well together.
Your main event on tonight's pay-per-view is the Intercontinental Championship Iron Man match. Seth Rollins versus Dolph Ziggler. Dolph's your champion. Drew McIntyre is at ringside. The extreme stip in this match, stamina, apparently,
yes,
because it is an Iron Man match. Okay, a few things here. Number one, as I mentioned, the Intercontinental Championship is main eventing. I asked our listenership via Twitter, when was the last time this has happened? And they could only come up with Wembley Stadium, 1992.
Right. Bulldog and Bret Hart right.
Being the main event. So I can't remember the last, you know, any time between
now
and then that you had the Intercontinental Championship as your main event. Okay, so let me ask you something. We've seen this match tonight. Do you believe that the Iron Man match is a concept of the past and cannot be put out there in this day and age due to shortened attention span?
Yes, yeah, exactly. You know why? Because audiences today are too smart and they're jerks sometimes. And I just think they want to take control. I think audiences love to take control, especially since Vince McMahon sometimes won't give them what they want. So it's almost like, okay, well, Vince, we're going to take control and we're going to hijack this match. Like back in the era when Bret and Shawn had their legendary match, you know, you didn't have crowds that were like this, right? And it was a lot easier to do. I think, although it's still tough when you tell the audience a match is going to go a certain length because they know that it's really not going to get crazy until the end. Although they did try to kind of remedy that by a 10-minute period here that had, what, 5 or 6 falls in it?
Well, here's what happened here. I mean, this crowd is just fascinated with the clock because as it counted down, they thought it was the Royal Rumble.
So
and from 10
stupid.
Seconds down to every single minute, they would count down. I mean, and in this match, they did try to go really fast off the top. With under 5 minutes in, you had Rollins scoring a pin. 3 minutes later, Rollins got a stomp and went up 2-0. Then McIntyre attacked Rollins, got a DQ. So Rollins is up 3-0.
Yes.
Honestly, we don't normally see this type of thing
happening.
No way.
So
it was the booking strategy to attempt to give more action than
exactly.
this match.
Exactly. So the crowd wouldn't get bored, right?
So this allows, you know, when McIntyre attacked Rollins, this allowed Rollins to get back, Ziggler to get back 3 falls in less than 2 minutes, and that left us with 18 minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this was, there were no falls, and this is when the crowd really went off track and started focusing on the clock.
And it was so crazy that, I don't know, Kevin Dunn, I guess, whoever was in charge of the production, actually decided to take the clock off the big screen because the fans were doing all this stuff. Well, then they started chanting, "We want the clock," or "Where's the clock," or whatever like that. But they... See, you had to have the clock there, though, near the end, because a whole part of the story is Rollins trying to get that fall so he can tie things up. And you have to have the visual of Rollins looking at the clock so you have the drama. So they had to put it back on. And so, of course, once they did that, then the crowd started their silliness once again.
It got a big pop. It might have got the biggest pop of the match at the 10-minute
mark. Turning the clock back on.
Yeah, it got a big
unbelievable.
Pop at 10 minutes. But I didn't even think about that. And you brought up a really great point that you had to see. Not only see the clock for how much time was left, but Rollins struggling.
You have to see him seeing it, right?
That's
the thing. You have to see that look on his face like, oh, I've only got 3 minutes left. I got to pin him, you know?
So it ends up as a tie, and you already heard the end of the match. Angle comes out. It's a sudden death finish. McIntyre comes up in the ropes, zigzag, and he doesn't really care that McIntyre manages to get involved.
That's the thing. Well, I knew when they did the tie, because that's the same thing that happened in the classic one with Shawn and Bret. They were tied, and they had to keep going. And I'm like, okay, I don't have a problem with that. It builds drama. But then having it, they start it, and then McIntyre instantly distracts Seth. Ziggler gets the zigzag right away, pins him. Yeah, and there's no controversy afterwards and nothing. And I'm kind of like, you kind of tainted it. I don't know. It just didn't work. And honestly, a lot of it. And look, let's not blame Ziggler or Rollins. These guys worked like hell. They were total workhorses. They worked really hard. They tried their best. But honestly, this was a great example of a dumbass crowd ruining a match. I'm going to say it. I don't care. If you were there, call up and try to defend yourself because honestly, crowd wrecked this match.
Yeah, well, let's do that. So let's take a break here. 1-866-729-2562. Now we're going to be taking your phone calls. Phone lines are open. 1-866-729-2562. 729-2562 is the number to call, taking your feedback on Extreme Rules. Also, at SNME Radio on Twitter. Due to shortened attention spans, the Iron Man match is an outdated concept. It's the Sunday night's main event survey. Agree or disagree? Go vote.
All right.
Right now, we're back with more Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Each week on Sunday night's main event, our Turnbuckle Trivia winner receives a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Well, now that t-shirt could be one of ours. Visit ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio and get your official Sunday night's main event t-shirt. It's got that nifty 80s parody logo and comes in your choice of white or black. Because unlike modern day wrestling, I prefer not to endorse shades of gray. Get your t-shirt today at ProWrestlingTees.com/SNMEradio. Definitely the most extreme spot on the show tonight. Going off the top of the cage for a good reason? Probably not.
No.
Alrighty, here's what has happened. During the break, I was like, why don't we have any phone calls? And then I called the number. And the number is just continues to ring. Yeah. So.
Technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen.
The toll-free number is not working tonight. Instead, if you would like to call, we will get you on the air fast, but you do have to call long distance unless you happen to live in this area. 905-645-3281. Once again, 905-645-3281. I am going to put this and I'm going to tweet this out right now, and I will write the number to call is... There we go, 905-645-3281. Sorry about that, because I know people are calling in, Mouth. It was a very weird show.
Absolutely. You can't tell me that people don't want to talk about this pay-per-view, for sure.
Okay, so we're going to do something a little different. We were going to do this later, but we're going to do it now. I've been teasing all week long that we have a big announcement on the show tonight, and it involves the future of this show. So for the past few weeks, I'm about 3 months into doing this show. In the past couple of weeks, I put out different questions on Twitter and on Facebook and asked you guys how I can improve the show. And there were two things. Number one was the fact that you would like me to switch from Podbean over to Patreon in order to crowdfund the show and give you an RSS feed for all the bonus podcasts. That is done. And that is done right now at patreon.com/SNMEradio. So my apologies to all of you who are already contributing over on the Podbean. I'm going to cancel that by SummerSlam. So switch your donations, your contributions over to the Patreon. Now, the other thing, and it's more important, let's be honest here, is the fact that Dan Lavransky, this is his third time co-hosting this show with me. And let's face it, a lot of you have been listening to the two of us for many, many years. And when that old show stopped, when the loss stopped, you were saying you had a really big gap on your Sunday nights and Monday mornings. So, what we would like to do, the reason for switching over to Patreon, is the Mouth is willing to come back and join me on Sunday night. So you could have us back here every Sunday night, the two of us co-hosting. But we've been doing this for a while, Mouth. And listen, guys, when you go to work, you don't work for free.
No, exactly.
And the way that the show works is that, yes, we're able to use the TSN radio facility, and we use their airwaves and broadcasts and their studios. Oh, look, Jeremy, there's a phone call. And sometimes their phones, which work on occasion.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
But they are not paying us to do the show here. So it is a crowdfunded show. Now, we're definitely willing to continue on and do the show, and the Mouth will come back.
Yeah, I'm totally totally willing. I mean, obviously, Jay and I have been doing this since, like, the late 50s. And it's like, we're almost like Siamese twins, sort of. I mean, we're bonded together. I love working with Jay. I always have. And I just think we do have a great dynamic with each other. And if you can help us, you know, pay us to do it, we're more than willing to do it.
Now, and there are a different lineup of rewards that we have associated with this. Now, obviously, Turnbuckle Trivia is a staple. I'm a trivia guy. I do another trivia show here in the city. So Turnbuckle Trivia is going to be one of the rewards. There is a basic reward, then there's Turnbuckle Trivia, and then on top of that, because the mouth is coming back, if we can get to a certain number of contributors, also, Mouth, your other love is music.
Yeah.
And you've been doing the YouTube show that we've talked about, and we're willing to allow you guys to submit a review to you.
Yeah, well, that's it.
An album.
That's right. I do a thing called Slipped Through the Cracks, where I go through kind of the history of music and find weird and obscure records that should have, I think myself, should have been more popular. And with this particular level, you get to pick that record. You say, well, you know what, Mouth? Here's a record that I really like, and I don't think it got the due it was deserved, and can you do a piece on that? And I absolutely will. I would love to do it, and I think it's a great way to combine both the wrestling and the music together. So I'm more than willing, if you hit that level where that is offered, to do those for you. And I think that would be a lot of fun.
And along with that, of course, you guys probably also know I do wrestling-themed comedy shows here in the city. They involve Nug Nargang, RJ City. Santino Marella has performed live on them. There is a level where you can get tickets to not only my wrestling shows, but all of my other comedy shows that I do. This is like a $500 annual value.
That's huge.
If you were to come to all the shows. And that's your $12 a month level. Along with that, you know that Mouth and I like beer, so I have this joke level up here.
Are you really going to put that in?
It's in here. Because you know how people come up to us and say, hey, Agnew, or Mouth, can I buy you a beer?
Yes.
Our good friend Tim in Toronto.
Oh, boy, Tim. Tim has, yes.
Gotten me drunk a few times.
Well, Tim has kept me well lubricated many times.
So if you're not in the area and you can't meet us, then this is a way to buy us beers. And then along with that, one other level that we have thrown up here is if you are interested in co-hosting a Patreon podcast, this level is available to you as well. It is limited. There's only 12 spots there, but it is there as well. This could be a takeover. It could be a network special. By all means, if you pick Impact Wrestling, you're really going to get angry Agnew. But nonetheless, it could happen. I mean, All In is coming up, and we're going to do a special. And from what I'm determined, Mouth, even if you're back, I feel as though you don't want to get up at 4 a.m. to review the Australian special with me.
No, that might be a bit of a tough one. But hey, you never know. I mean, if things go the way we'd like them to go, I'm there. I'm all in.
You're
Jay.
All in. Okay.
I'm all in.
So that's his way of saying all in and not Australia. But Australia could be yours. So all those levels are there. So once again, it's patreon.com/SNMEradio. That is going to be out there. We're going to tell you more about it. We're going to build this up to SummerSlam. And SummerSlam will be when the decision is made whether Mouth is back or he is part-time, or we're going to figure out what is happening depending on the support that he and I get.
Right. You've got some time to think things through, figure things out.
No, do it now.
Well, no, that's true.
Do it now.
Don't think about it. Impulse buying.
Yeah. All righty. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. Your phone calls are next.
Oh, okay. Good.
So once again, the number to call, I will re-endorse this, 905-645-3281. Apologies that the long distance isn't working. Getting you on the air next. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. We can leave your
friends behind. Ron is not allowed on this side of the barricade. And Rousey with Mickey up high.
You go tell her, Corey.
Ronda Rousey. Oh, my God. Rousey's unleashed on James.
All righty, there you have it. Yeah, Ronda Rousey, definitely the focus of that match tonight. It was all about waiting for Ronda.
Yeah.
Like waiting for Godot,
exactly.
Waiting for Guffman, waiting for Ronda.
Yeah.
And we'll see where she's headed. I mean, so far, so good in the career of Ronda Rousey. And even tonight, I mean, her selling is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel sometimes her actual, like, There was when she was working with Mickey there tonight, it looked a little bit awkward at first, I
thought. To a degree, when she threw her into the barricade there a couple times. She didn't seem to know where... But Mickey's the right person to have her work with to bump for her.
Because Mickey knows what to do. Even in the heels, Mickey knows what to do.
That's right. All right, let's get to the phones. You have called in. You figured out the number. Apologies for that. We shall go first to Hanzi, who is on the line. Hanzi, what's happening?
Yo, what's up, man? What's going on?
We are hanging out here talking Extreme Rules. What'd you think tonight?
Listen, Bret Hart was ahead of his time because when he said that if you're going to have an enema in America, and you're going to stick the hose in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So he was ahead of his time with that one. Listen, I enjoy some of the matches. The booking was really questionable with some of them. I don't understand why they had. I'm not going to complain that Nakamura didn't win. He won, obviously, but I would have liked to see a match. I don't know what to deal with the Orton turn. The rest of the card, the title match and the last match were pretty good. It just the fans kind of took me out of it. But I can't really. I see people blaming the fans, right? But again, like maybe it's a long hours, or maybe it's like the lack of creativity in the buildup of all these matches, because there's nothing to really be hyped for, I guess. That's my only defense of it, but I don't know. I couldn't really blame the crowd particularly, but I just didn't think that the matches were, like, that great. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I they had high spots, but for the most part, I just thought...
Hanzi, hold on, before you keep going here, what about the Roman match? Because I think the WWE crowd at this point will just not even give a Roman match a chance, despite the build.
Well, but... the thing with the Roman match, I guess maybe because it's, I don't know, maybe because it's Dolph Ziggler and we've seen this guy been put in...
No. Roman Reigns match. Bobby Lashley. That's the one I'm asking about.
Oh, the Roman... Okay, no. Yeah. See, I was going to criticize and say, oh, they're going to put Reigns and them last, but maybe it would have been better if they would have put it on.
Yes. I think you're right.
I think it would, especially with Lashley getting the win.
That's the key, Mel.
The crowd would have went absolutely nuts if that was the final match.
It's interesting, though, because I think that it wasn't the final match because Roman didn't go over, and by putting it down on the card, you put less emphasis on the fact that Roman didn't win. It's what Hogan used to do when he would lose. He put himself in the middle of the card.
Right, right.
And so that's what you saw tonight, when in actuality, Bobby Lashley, main eventing tonight, you know, if you weren't going to put your title match on in the main event, because IC title is, I'm not counting that, I'm talking about the main title, then why not put the number one contender match there and have Bobby Lashley come out and be that contender for Brock Lesnar?
I agree. I think it would have been much better if the show had ended with that one. And I don't think you can blame, you know, Dolph Ziggler, Rollins. Those guys worked super hard, and if that match had maybe been in another spot and maybe wasn't an Iron Man match,
that's the key.
Yeah, the fans would have reacted a lot better. But this, I got this impression that this was a crowd that wanted to mess with things because they're not happy with certain things, so they wanted to mess around. And in the end, ended up depriving themselves and us of a good match with the Rollins. Because I'm sorry, but Rollins and Ziggler worked their asses off in that match, and they shouldn't have been subjected to that silliness from the crowd. I mean, I understand the crowd gets upset about things, but you got to draw the line somewhere. Do you want to enjoy the event, or do you just want to go and screw with the event? And to me, I think they cross a line tonight.
I know we're supposed to take a break here, but I want to get this call in because he's calling from Pittsburgh, and
it's
long distance tonight.
Yes.
So we're going to go to he's calling from New Jersey. He wants to talk about the Pittsburgh crowd. Sorry, Mouth. I know you got excited.
Okay.
It's Paul from New Jersey on the line. Paul, you want to talk about the crowd. Do you think they even gave this show a chance tonight?
Yes and no, but I really think, like Hanzi said, that comment with the Pittsburgh crowd and Bret Hart, I feel like every time there's a big show in Pittsburgh, we're kind of talking about this. I know at least two times in recent history, the Pittsburgh crowd has been kind of brought to task them. I mean, myself, I've been a part of some, you know, Brooklyn Beach Ball fiasco, so I guess I can't talk, but I feel like they directly wanted to mess with the show. And it just, I feel like they picked the wrong spot, because I feel like Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler, they're your internet darlings. They're guys that people really like, and like Mal said, they worked really hard, so I don't get this one. I think it was really obnoxious of them.
It was definitely obnoxious. The clock counting down thing definitely went over the top. All right.
I just don't understand. Why do you want to pay hard-earned money? Tickets are not cheap. Why do you want to pay all this money to get a ticket and then sit there and ruin the show? I don't get it.
We will ask Dave Meltzer that question when we come back and see his take on tonight's event, because that is coming on up. And don't forget Turnbuckle Trivia in our next hour. And yes, your phone calls as well. If you'd like to get on in, we'll be taking them 905-645-3281. Put a one in front of that if you're calling long distance. Sorry. All right. It is Sunday night's main event, and it's on TSN Radio.
Mouth Lowransky here, and when I'm not watching wrestling, I love old cheesy movies. You know, the ones that are so bad they're good. That's why the Trash Palace is my favorite theater in Toronto. They show all these forgotten films from every genre. Monsters, maniacs, cowboys, samurais, cartoons, classroom films, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Now, if your film-going experience needs spicing up, you need to check out the Trash Palace. Every second Friday of the month at CineCycle, 129 Spadina, just south of Queen and Spadina. For the full schedule, check out Trash Palace Toronto on Facebook.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
All right, he is indeed back. We are back, second hour right here on the show. It is Sunday night's main event, and we head to San Jose to chat with a man that had one heck of a weekend last weekend. But Dave, have you got a little bit of time to rest this week before tonight?
Nah, now with G1, I don't think I have time for
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
My goodness. The man who never sleeps. All right, Dave. Well, today, not only Extreme Rules, but it was an interesting afternoon when the news of Hulk Hogan being spotted around WWE and then reinstated to the WWE Hall of Fame all broke. Was this a surprise to you, or was it just a matter of time now that the TV deals are done?
I mean, it was a matter of time from the day it happened 3 years ago. I always knew he would be back. It was a question of how long it would be. I think everyone knew that. And everyone knew it had been closer and closer. I mean, I was expecting it at Mania, really. But I think that there were probably some holdups. And I will say that when Papa John got in trouble, I thought it's probably going to delay it by a couple of months. But in fact, it happened like just a couple of days later. So I guess they didn't care about that. And,
hey, Dave, did you know that in December of 2017, so just a few months ago, WWE did a campaign about their video game with Papa John's?
Well,
just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
They surround themselves with this type. So, yeah, so that was very peculiar that this just comes, you know, a few days later and it did not delay.
Yeah, so they didn't really seem to, you know, but they've been working on it, and I'm sure that they went to their broadcast partners, or maybe they did it now, figuring that if they do it now, by the time they're on the new station,
yes,
it'll blow over, and this is the right time to do it. The deal is done, and it's a year before you start, so maybe this is the safe period.
I think that was a big part of it, Dave, that the bringing it in for the new, like Fox and stuff like that, it's something that they can have in place. Any ideas on or thoughts on when you feel we might, like, do we see him tomorrow night in Buffalo, or do you think we'll see him?
I don't know. I would, you know what? I mean, tomorrow night isn't the worst night, but I would say, like, wouldn't you save him for the night you want to do a really big rating? You know, and tomorrow, you know, you got tough competition. You're coming off the lowest rating in history, which was last Monday. So it wouldn't be the worst idea.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah, like, just like you said, because it was so bad last week. I would think, I mean, the fact that they brought up all that stuff about Lesnar on the pay-per-view tonight, it's obvious they want to try and get the rating moved up tomorrow.
Yeah. That was very clear. Yeah, the way that they did that angle.
So, and what about the rumors of Daniel Bryan and the contract extension? Has that come about as of yet, to your knowledge?
So the last I got a definitive word was Friday night, and he had not signed on Friday night. So I'm waiting to find out if something had changed. I wasn't given the impression that anything was expected imminently, but I was given the impression that it was expected, you know, in the sense of, yes, he was. And he pretty much did an interview where he said that he was leaning towards staying, or strongly leaning towards staying. And the last that I had heard, it was, he was going to stay. The only thing was is he didn't want to work more than 100 dates a year. And I was sure that, like, you know, they weren't going to, that they would acquiesce to that because they don't want him on the other side. So I thought it was a given that he was staying. But I don't know. I don't know that the story that he signed is true, but I don't know that it's false. But, you know, hopefully I'll know by tomorrow.
Let's talk about tonight's show and a very weird show and some of the decisions made, and in particular, the crowd tonight. Now, I want to throw this at you, Dave, because I've done this with our listeners tonight as well. The Iron Man match for a WWE audience, is it still feasible or is it a relic of the past?
I think this was a bad crowd. I think you can do it. I think it's been done successfully. I'm not personally a fan of Iron Man matches. I would rather you just... The problem with doing the kind of a long match where the time limit means something is that they don't do time calls and they never say time limit. So it's kind of like you've thrown that whole thing out. But to me, the idea of doing a 30-minute match where you do a finish late or something like that, where people know the ending can come at any time, is a lot better than doing an Iron Man match where you tell the people it's 30 minutes and they know that until the last 3 minutes, none of it counts. I think you can do it because it's been done successfully. I just think this was, this one just had a lot of problems.
Well, I think, Dave, what about placement on the card itself? Because to me, if they had put the Iron Man match somewhere else on the show and they had ended the show with Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns and Lashley getting that big win over Reigns, I think the crowd would have been would have not been as ornery as they ended up being.
I agree with you. And the funny thing is that I was pretty much told that the during the week that the Roman Reigns match was going to be the main event.
Oh, really?
So that was the plan. I don't know why it changed, but you know those things change. That's a regular change. You know, I mean, like as far as like changing the order.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do stuff like that just to do it. You know, at the last minute. But
it just seems to me
when the change was done, other than that the Roman Reigns match was last. And when I saw the Roman Reigns match go early, I go, oh, they made a change. So I guess AJ's last, but he wasn't last either.
I just feel that if the show ended with Lashley winning, because it was obvious that everybody wanted Lashley to win that match, I think you would have had a much stronger end of the pay-per-view rather than a silly crowd trying to mess with everything by just being annoying the whole match.
Yeah. It was weird, too, because when I'm watching it, I don't think the babyface going up 3-0 is very good for building tension in a long match. Then he goes and loses four falls in a row. That kind of makes him look bad. I think that the babyface should be the one on the chase in an Iron Man match. So there's a lot of things that, you know, it's like Kurt Angle goes and restarts the match, and then, you know, Drew McIntyre interferes and he doesn't come out.
Exactly. He does nothing. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I mean, it was weird, and then the announcing was just horrendous. So lacking logic. I mean, one point when it's tied, and Michael Cole goes, you know, when Ziggler's in the crowd or outside the ring, he goes, he can just leave right now, and he would retain his championship. And it's like, no, he'd be counted out, and he'd lose the match.
I tweeted that out tonight. That made no sense whatsoever. Dave, tonight both Hardys lost their titles. Is that just coincidence, or is there something to it?
I think that's just coincidence. Yeah. Just banged up. I expected him to lose. Matt, I didn't expect to lose, but the B team has kind of got this little cult thing going. And it wasn't the worst idea for them to win. I mean, it's those tag titles don't mean a lot anyway. So, I don't think that there's... It's not like all of a sudden we're going to see the Hardys leave. I think that, you know, Jeff's just banged up.
Yeah, so what's up with Jeff? Because there was a discussion this week. He did an interview about his lower back being troublesome, not doing the Swanton at house shows. Is there obviously there's just more to it. It's just years and years. There's no one particular problem.
Yeah. I mean, well, he's got some nerve issues right now, so he's really hurting.
Is this into his arms? He has tingling and such.
I don't know. I think so, though. Yeah. I just know he's banged up in a lot of ways, and he just, you know, he hasn't been, you know, he's resting. That's probably why they did such a quick match. Although they're probably going to do a longer match on Tuesday.
Dave, also very curious with the Randy Orton return tonight. I mean, we all know that Nakamura needed a big win, and I actually kind of liked the way it played out with him winning very quickly. But I think it should have ended there, because bringing Orton out afterwards, the focus, it completely switches to Orton, and it's like, why did you feel you needed to do it right in that exact spot? Like, I just felt, why couldn't he come back on TV? I just felt it really, once again, it hurts Nakamura, I think.
Agreed. The other thing, too, is when they announced Nakamura against Jeff Hardy, it's kind of like, then why did Randy Orton
beat
Jeff Hardy? Why couldn't that be saved for after the rematch on Tuesday?
Exactly. That would have made a hell of a lot more sense, right? Like, I got a feeling tonight that booking just didn't make any sense. I just didn't think things through.
Yeah, and it did take away from Nakamura's title win for sure, yeah.
Brock Lesnar, always a hot topic. Let's get into him. He was not mentioned on Monday, with the thought process from Vince McMahon being he didn't want to convolute the push to Extreme Rules. He was mentioned tonight. His last match is confirmed to be at SummerSlam, correct?
His next match is confirmed to be at SummerSlam. I hesitate to ever say last.
Sorry, my apologies.
Because it's Brock Lesnar, and you cannot ever, you know, take anything for granted. He may have shot that angle in UFC, but that doesn't mean he's going to UFC, because I know he doesn't have a contract with UFC right now.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay, yeah.
He's back in the USADA testing pool, though. That is confirmed.
He did, which does make me think he's serious about going to UFC. If he wasn't in the testing pool, I would have a different opinion. But he is, you know, the fact that he's in the testing pool makes me believe that he's probably going to do a match in UFC, and and if he is, he's probably going to leave WWE for a while.
So
I don't count on that. All could be. I mean, Brock is the master of leverage, so you don't count on anything.
Do we know when he'd be done with the testing pool, Dave? Like, when does that run out? When would he be able to fight? I guess is my question.
He can fight after January. It's like around January 10th. I think is the day.
Okay, and that would also clear up his
suspension. He's not going to be able to fight this year. He can start fighting in the first pay-per-view of January. He'll be ready to fight.
And that clears up his suspension and that stuff as well.
Right. Everything would be cleared up at that point, yeah.
Right.
All right. Earlier when we were speaking to you, we talked about Daniel Bryan and WWE not wanting Daniel Bryan to leave and go to the other side. Well, the other side now definitely looks like Ring of Honor and New Japan, because they have confirmed they will be running Madison Square Garden on Saturday, April the 6th. That's WrestleMania weekend, when WrestleMania...
The night before WrestleMania.
Yes.
Yeah.
In New York, a few miles away from WrestleMania, they're going to run Madison Square Garden, the WWE's, you know, longtime home arena.
How did this happen? And then a stop was put to it, and is this just legal action came through here?
As far as I know, it was legal action that Sinclair threatened to sue, and Madison Square Garden didn't want the lawsuit. So, you know, that's what happened. But it was a public loss for WWE. I mean, because they absolutely tried to stop it, had it stopped, and reversed.
This is quite the accomplishment. Like, what do you think this is going to do for, like, Ring of Honor in terms of their popularity, getting broadcast rights, those kind of things? Like, to me, this is huge for them.
It's potentially huge. You don't know what's going to happen, but I do think that if they go in there and they are able to sell out Madison Square Garden, which is a big if.
Right.
But if they're able to do that, I do think that it changes a lot of perception in the business community about them and will open a lot of doors for them, or at least some of their guys. If it doesn't, you know, if it does, I mean, it doesn't have to sell out, but it has to do well.
Mm-hmm.
If it does poorly, it doesn't really help them much, but it doesn't kill them. If they did 9,000 people, which some people would consider disappointment, and I don't think it'd be less than that. But if they did that, they're no worse off than they are anyway.
I mean,
if they go in there and do 15 and sell out, then there's potential. You know, there's a lot of potential doors that are open, and you know, getting there. You know, there's a lot of key talent that's contract is coming due that would make a big difference in that Madison Square Garden show being a success or a failure. So There's five or six guys that are in pretty good shape right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's got all positives. I mean, that fact that it's that WrestleMania weekend, they're going to bring in New Japan guys as well. You'll have tons of wrestling fans. I mean, this is a show that traveling wrestling fans are going to want to check out on WrestleMania weekend. Like, I honestly think they have a pretty good chance of doing 10,000 or more.
I think they'll do more than 10,000. The only thing is the ticket prices are probably going to be really high, so that might make it a little tougher. But if they had normal ticket prices, I think that they would. I'm pretty sure they would sell out, actually. They did 10,000 in Chicago, with no, you know, with no WrestleMania. I can think they could do 15,000 in New York with WrestleMania.
Right, right.
All right, but here's the deal. This clearly puts them on the WWE radar more than ever. And
absolutely,
they've scorned
absolutely
the WWE here. Now, yes, Vince McMahon has been known to raid a territory or two.
Here and there.
Obviously, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, perhaps Cody, are keys to this.
Yeah.
Marty Scurll. Keys, and Marty Scurll's girlfriend just signed an NXT contract.
Yes.
So do you know about contracts, and can you see poaching happen? Because personally, the poachers are out.
I think the attempt will be there. And they have enough money that it's going to be hard to say no, because they can go higher and higher. So yeah, it opens the door. It's going to be very interesting. I think that there's guys, Jericho's another one, that I think they're in the right place at the right time. There's a couple mini Brocks out there right now, really. First time there've been any mini Brock.
Yeah.
It's like mini Brock right now.
There's some leverage there, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I just think, honestly, because, you know, New Japan building up, they had some New Japan guys. I mean, they've already said what Okada and Naito are going to be on that show.
Okada, Tanahashi, and Naito, which Tanahashi, I mean, he told me just last week that, you know, his dream was to wrestle a match in Madison Square Garden.
Oh, wow.
So this is a big deal to him, and I'm sure, you know, to all the Japanese guys, I would guess every single guy on that roster, because I don't know if any of them have ever worked the Garden before.
I
don't think any of them ever have, so that's going to be a real thrill for them, because you're in Japan and you grow up and you see those magazines and
right,
like that.
Sure.
Madison Square Garden's a real big deal there.
Right. Let's stick with New Japan just for a second here too, Dave. Takashi, after the match with Dragon Lee at the San Francisco show, have we heard any more about his condition? Have you heard what's happening there?
Nothing new, which I don't necessarily think is a good thing, but he said he's fine. Nobody has talked about it like it's a career-ending injury, but it is a serious injury.
What about New Japan themselves? Have they said anything? Like, have they made a statement or anything?
The only thing is that he went home.
Right.
And he did a drawing, and in his drawing, he drew a picture of himself with a severed head. But he said he was fine.
Oh,
okay.
That's pleasant.
Bizarre.
Before we go, Dave, I know, Mouth, you wanted to get Dave's take on the G1 and favorites and looking at the brackets.
Yeah, I mean, we're two shows in. We've got another show coming up in just a few hours. What are you seeing in terms of who gets the big push from the G1 this year?
I think that guys like Page and Juice, I mean, there's so many of these guys, Tama Tonga, I think that they'll all do pretty well, but I mean, as far as, I still kind of feel that maybe it's an Okada Naito final.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah, I think maybe Okada Naito. I know a lot of people want Tanahashi in there. Kota Ibushi certainly has a chance.
Sure.
Wouldn't shock me. But as far as others, anybody else in the finals, I would be surprised. But then again, you don't know. I mean, they may, you know, they like look at Zack Sabre in the New Japan Cup. I mean,
right,
that came out of nowhere.
Right,
I mean,
right, right. Yeah, no, it's a tough one for sure. And just quickly, of the two shows that have happened, any matches we should definitely check out?
So I have not watched the second night, but I had friends who watched it that were just absolutely raving about the Kenny Omega Naito match.
Okay.
I thought Tanahashi and Minoru Suzuki was excellent.
Oh.
Jay White and Okada was really, really good. I heard Zack Sabre and Kota Ibushi is really good, which I don't know how it could not be.
Yes, yes.
Every time I've seen them wrestle, it's just incredible. Michael Elgin and the Michael Elgin match with Evil was.
Oh.
You know, I wouldn't say a surprise, but it was really good as well.
Nice. So already only two shows in, and we've got a bunch of matches that are good.
All right, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything that is. Every match I've seen has been good so far.
All right.
We'll keep following that along. And, Dave, we got to wrap this week, but what is coming up in The Observer?
Well, Hogan's story, Madison Square Garden story, running down this pay-per-view, G1, and UFC Hall of Fame story. So it's going to be a lot.
Yeah. As usual, it's a busy time all the time
yeah. for Dave Meltzer. Dave, thanks for chatting with us this week, and we will chat with you next.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. Dave Meltzer, WrestlingObserver.com is where you can get a subscription for The Observer and join Dave and Brian Alvarez for a whole bunch of podcasts as well. They are great. Unparalleled coverage. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back. It is Turnbuckle Trivia time next right here on the show. So stay tuned for that. Then we'll get you some news as well and some feedback. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts, including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday night's main event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they say there.
It is Turnbuckle Trivia time tonight here on the program. We have two competitors, and it's an international fair on the night of Extreme Rules. Brendan, all the way from Sheffield, England. How are you, pal?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for being, I believe you were the second person to contribute to the new Patreon, so I really appreciate that.
All good.
And your opponent today is going to be Paul from New Jersey. How you doing, Paul?
Good, Jay. Thanks.
All right, good stuff. So it's an international affair, and we've decided to play the before and after game. And by we, I mean I have decided to play the before and after game with you tonight. Wrestling-themed, of course, as we do. And so the before and after game, here's how it works. You're taking two things, you're combining them together. An example of that would be something like if I were to say, Toronto Blue Jays catcher joins the Three Amigos. Well, the catcher would be Russell Martin, and one of the Three Amigos could be Martin Short. So your answer would be Russell Martin Short. But, of course, we're not baseball theming this, we're wrestling theming this. Three questions each. Steals are in play, gentlemen. And whoever gets the higher score wins any t-shirt they like from the best t-shirt spot on the internet, ProWrestlingTees.com. Brendan, you will go first. Paul, you will go second. So here is your first question, Brendan. And I hope this show made it over to the UK. Saved by the Bells, Dustin Diamond joins the Warlord and the Barbarian to form a tag team. So Saved by the Bells, Dustin Diamond joins the Warlord and the Barbarian to form a tag team. Brendan, did that show make it over?
It did, but I'm not going to get that, I don't think, no.
All right, we're buzzed out on Brendan. Paul, can you steal it?
I can. Screech Powers of Pain.
That is correct. Paul with the steal to kick things off for our first point. Very good, Paul. All right. This one goes over to you. Let's keep with this Barbarian theme, okay? Paul, your question is, the Barbarian and Meng make cameos in a Johnny Depp film based on a Hunter S. Thompson novel. So the Barbarian and Meng make cameos in a Johnny Depp film based on a Hunter S. Thompson novel. Paul.
Faces of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh my goodness, he pulls it out again. Yes, indeed.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is. That is correct. Faces of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I like the genuine surprise that you gave me there, Paul. All right, back to Brendan. Brendan, if you don't get this, Dan Lavransky will be throwing things around in the studio and possibly hurt me, okay? Here is your next... Okay. And you, this one caters to you, all right? Lemmy joins the tag team of Al Snow and Steve Blackman. Lemmy joins the tag team of Al Snow and Steve Blackman. Brendan.
Motorhead Bangers.
Oh, no. No, that would have been Mosh and Thrasher. I love that answer, yeah, but it's incorrect. Paul, can you steal this one, too?
Motorhead Cheese.
Motorhead Cheese. Another one for Paul. Very good. All right, Paul, back over to you for this one. Mabel, Mo, and Oscar add IMF agent Ethan Hunt to their team. Mabel, Mo, and Oscar add IMF agent Ethan Hunt to their team. Paul.
Men on a Mission Impossible.
Paul is killing this. Brendan, you're playing for pride at this point.
Yeah, I think so.
Here we go. The current Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions invade the WWE and form a stable with Kane and The Undertaker. The current Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions invade the WWE to form a stable with Kane and The Undertaker.
The Briscoe Brothers of Destruction.
That is correct. You got it, Brendan. You have got a point. Paul, your final one, Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine form a stable with Kane and Daniel Bryan.
The Dream Team, hell no.
Oh, my goodness. Paul is an expert level player, Paul. Congratulations, Brendan. I appreciate the support. I appreciate you playing. But today, Paul wins with a 5-1 score. Just, Paul, do you sit at home and listen to this game and get all the correct answers normally?
I love Jeopardy, so I'm used to it.
Well, you did very well tonight. You got yourself a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. Brendan, I thank you for the phone call and the support. Guys, thank you both for playing Turnbuckle Trivia.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, well done, Paul. Well done.
Well, that's very nice. Gracious in defeat right there. And hey, if you're at home every week and thinking that I destroy this game, just like Paul from New Jersey does, then by all means, sign up for the new Patreon. It's patreon.com/SNMEradio. The Turnbuckle Trivia level is right there for you, and I could be calling you to play the game, and you can win a t-shirt from our sponsor at ProWrestlingTees.com. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come on back with more Extreme Rules in our after show here tonight. Jason Agnew, Dan Lavransky, and with your help, I might be saying that each and every week, right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Can anybody hear me if I shed the
If you like wrestling, then your friends probably do too. And there's no better gift for a friend than a sweet wrestling t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com.
The Festival of Friendship!
From Ring of Honor, New Japan, and the Independents.
Super Kick!
Classic superstars like Shawn Michaels, Andre the Giant, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
The cream of the crop!
Find the perfect gift for the wrestling fan in your life at ProWrestlingTees.com.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's Main Event.
All right, a little bit later in the show, we did get to some of the news with Dave Meltzer, but we want to get to a little bit more for you here on the show. After all, we're like a wrap-up of the week of professional wrestling.
That's it, exactly,
news, right?
The highlights.
You got it. So there were several names announced this week for the 2018 Mae Young Classic, including former WWE Divas Champion Caitlyn, Japanese standout Io Shirai, Progress Women's Champion Ginny, Aussie competitor Rhea Ripley will return again this year, American Ninja Warrior standout Casey Cantazzaro, as well as Canadian and current Progress Wrestling Champion Nicole Matthews. Now, there's, of course, going to be 32 participants, so we've got 6 down, 26 to go. Yeah, my math is off here on the sheet, man. The tournament, which will be taped at Full Sail University in Orlando, is going to happen on August 8th and 9th.
Plus 2 is 4.
The WWE Network's going to air it later on, but no date has been announced. Okay, hopefully I didn't write you any math.
Yeah, really, not in this one, anyways. Good. A couple of injury updates from the WWE this week. Dustin Runnels, a.k.a. Goldust, will be out of action for an unknown amount of time as he went under the knife to undergo surgery on both of his knees. Yeah, the 49-year-old traveled to Birmingham, Alabama for surgery performed by orthopedic surgeon Dr. Jeffrey Dugas on Tuesday, but no additional information was given on the extent of the injuries. After the surgery was complete, though, Dustin tweeted that it was a success. Also, Fandango will be out of action as he underwent surgery on his shoulder for a torn left labrum.
We've got two performers that have been christened with WWE names. According to a WWE photo gallery, Donovan Dijak will now be known as Dominik Dijakovic.
Where do they come up? Where do they come up
really
with
bad.
These names?
That like, one's harder.
Can you imagine the announcers having to mess with that?
Dominik Dijakovic. And he'll be cut down to just Dijakovic at a certain point.
Vic, also, they'll just start calling
just
him Vic.
That's fine.
Impact Wrestling performer Gunner will now be called Jackson Riker. Well, that just sounds like a Star Trek name.
That's a terrible name.
Just a Star
Jackson
Trek
name. Well, it's the thing with X's. They love to sing with X's. In what has to be a disappointment for wrestling fans outside the WWE realm, it looks like Daniel Ryan will be re-signing with the WWE. His current contract expired on September 1st, but in an interview with the Business Times, it was mentioned he is in negotiations for a new deal, and Brian was quoted as saying, quote, "The wrestling world is an interesting world right now, but I love working with WWE, and my wife is a part of WWE, and so there's a good chance I'll re-sign," unquote.
Yeah, I just think that WWE will do everything not
Are
to
you kidding?
Lose him.
They do not want him on the indie scene right now, going to Ring of Honor, working with
Think about
All
it,
In
now.
And stuff.
Think about it. Not just All In. If he leaves, he's at Madison Square
absolutely.
Garden.
Absolutely.
You want to talk sellout?
Yeah.
That
exactly.
is immediate 100% sellout.
I'm sure they're going to give him the best deal they can.
You bet. Another contract news. Tessa Blanchard signed a 2-year deal with Impact Wrestling.
And New Japan announced that Rey Mysterio will be wrestling Budokan Hall on August 12th as part of the final show for this year's G1. Mysterio is also slated to wrestle at All In, but rumors continue to circulate about him re-signing with the WWE.
Jim Ross ended up suffering bruised ribs and a bruised lung at last weekend's G1 Cow Palace show during the unplanned incident during the Juice Robinson and Jay White match. Now, for more details, you can check out the Ross Report podcast with guest Josh Barnett. Mouth, you were not fooled by this.
You knew immediately, you said. Yeah, the people I was watching it with, it's a work. I'm like, the look on JR's face to me when they picked him up off the floor, I'm like, he's in pain. This is not a work. And I don't think JR would agree to an angle where he gets knocked that hard off a chair, right? A tweet was sent out from the All In Twitter account, which revealed their broadcasting team for the event. Now, this is crazy. They got people from all over. New Japan and Impact color commentator Don Callis. Hopefully he can get a good-looking suit. Former WWE announcer Sean Mooney, Ring of Honor announcer Ian Riccaboni, PWG announcer Excalibur, ROH ring announcer Bobby Cruz, former WWE ring announcer Justin Roberts, and Impact backstage interviewer Alicia Atu will all be part of the event, although their specific roles are yet to be announced. That's a lot, huh?
Some
of those, I guess, will be backstage people, but geez, that it seems overkill to me.
In their mouth, All In.
Everybody. I guess that's it. Everybody. Not only every wrestler, but we're going to get all the announcers too.
Yeah.
And they're just running the gamut there too. As of right now, it's been stated that the show will have both online and traditional pay-per-view viewing options, but no further details are available. Once again, the show takes place at the Sears Center Arena in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, which is 25 miles from Chicago.
And finally, the first season of GLOW on Netflix has been nominated for 10 Emmy Awards.
10? Yeah. That's amazing.
The biggest being outstanding comedy series. The WWE, on the other hand, was shut out despite attempts to get programs like Total Bellas, Total Divas, WrestleMania 34. And, I mean, Mouth, I think the one that they
did have a chance with
was the WWE 24 and Andre the Giant, I thought might have a chance to be nominated. So,
That wasn't a WWE 24, that was an HBO. Remember, it was HBO that did the Andre the Giant special.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, that was not one that was actually under their wing, but they cooperated heavily with it.
Yeah, yeah,
but it was actually HBO. And I agree. Of all those listed, that one should... It was pretty well done.
It was not only well done, but it was just the nature of the subject. Mm-hmm. Where you get out to a broader audience than you're dealing with wrestling, right?
Right.
So, about GLOW, though, just before we take a break here, you saw season one.
I did. I saw all of season one, and I thought it was fantastic. And I haven't just had the time to sit down and watch season two, but I'm totally pumped to check it out because I'm hearing even better. In fact, you thought it was better than season one.
Yeah. So I had the chance last week. I actually had to tape the show because I was on a plane. So I had a 3.5-hour flight. I pretty much watched all the episodes.
Right.
There and back, I did watch all the episodes. Mm. There's probably a little bit less as far as the wrestling goes, and it's more about the promotion. And of course, it's fictional at this point, right? Like, it's just GLOW is the name, and that's about all. But it's very good. And also, I mean, you do get occasional cameos. Look out for Chavo Guerrero. Mm. Look out for Carlito as well, who returns in the second season.
Yes.
And Chavo trained them. But my main thing that I wanted to mention here, number one, watch it. It's great for wrestling fans. Number two, Kia Stevens. This is the former Amazing Kong, Awesome Kong.
Yes.
Karma. Is the best thing that this woman did was give up wrestling and go into acting. She is excellent. Like, there's a whole episode focused on her and her son, and she is tremendous. A standout performer.
Wow.
On this. I want to see more about her character and right. more of her. And it's, a lot more in depth into the characters as opposed to.
But that's
just
okay, because in the first season, they did a really good job of creating the characters,
yes, they
right?
did.
And,
yeah.
like, I was fascinated by several of the characters, and I'm really glad to see that it's that the second season is at least on par or even better. So I'm totally stoked. Hopefully, this week, I can watch a good chunk of it.
We are going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll do some feedback. And if you want to get on in, then yes, indeed, the phone lines are open for this last block, and we can get to you. It's 905-645-3281, hopefully just for this week, not the long distance. It's not working. So 1-905-645-3281. Taking your phone calls and doing feedback when we return. It's Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
The eyes of the champion from the top. Phenomenal form.
On the mark.
Cover. Styles has beaten Rusev.
With his phenomenal forearm, and you know, not too bad 450 splash, I guess, right, Mouth?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was like I said, I thought it was the match of the night, but it could have got an extra star, maybe half a star, if they had used the 450 splash as the ending.
Yeah. So, what do you think as far as AJ Styles goes? AJ Styles going into SummerSlam now. I mean, I don't feel as though the Rusev thing is continuing.
No,
do you?
No, that was a clean finish. I kind of figured it was kind of one and done with him, right?
So, see, here's an interesting little bit and piece here. Tonight, Randy Orton's brought back, and Randy Orton's brought back for Jeff Hardy Nakamura. Would it not be more effective to hold off with Randy Orton and bring him back
come
as AJ Styles' big opponent for
exactly.
SummerSlam?
Exactly. Come out and challenge AJ.
And I'm not
SmackDown.
Even a Randy Orton fan.
Right.
I don't care for Randy Orton, but I think perhaps Randy Orton coming out to do a save for AJ Styles. Mm-hmm. Someone's beating, Aiden English and Rusev finally get the advantage of beating down on him. Randy Orton comes out, saves him, holds his arm in the air, takes him out,
yeah.
and kicks him in the face like he used to do.
Yeah, and then, you know, RKOs him. And, I could see something going in that direction. Because
I don't see it now. I think it's ruined. No, that's my fantasy booking, that way.
Yeah, but that's the thing on the SmackDown side. I mean, I don't know who you have to go against AJ. Like, I mean, obviously, dream match, I'd love to see Daniel Bryan, but that doesn't work because they're both babyfaces and Bryan's off in tag team land and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, who? I'm just trying to think now because you mentioned that before the commercial. I'm
is like, Bryan off in tag team land? I don't think he is.
Done?
When does the Miz thing happen? Or is the Miz the AJ Styles opponent for SummerSlam?
Yeah. They have to have something with Miz. He just wasn't on the show tonight because he was doing that baseball game. But I just find it hard to find out who would really go with him next.
Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to find out on
Tuesday
for SmackDown. Hey, we got another phone call. We're going to go to Jake in Chicago who's been waiting patiently. Thank you for calling, Jake. What's in your mind tonight?
Hey, Mouth and Jay, thanks for taking my call. Let me just say, just right after the show ends, I'll be happy to send in my donation for the new Patreon. So I appreciate the introduction.
Thank you very much for the support. Much appreciated.
Yeah, appreciate it. Extreme Rules tonight. I would give it a thumbs in the middle show. I loved the last two matches. But the Asuka Carmella match was just awful.
Well, but you know, it's that you know with Carmella though, because she's really not good in the ring. I think a lot of her matches are going to be this kind of smoke and mirrors kind of shit.
Yeah, I agree. Just but looking at this, chuckle over Ellsworth on that, and I just don't know what to do or what you can do with Asuka anymore. I mean, like they're making her look so. So cold right now. I mean, it's just I don't know what to do. I mean, and also the Bryan Kane and Kane match against the Bludgeon Brothers, that too was a waste of time in my opinion. Like I was looking forward to I hope they're going forward the Bryan and Miz match for SummerSlam, but oh boy, I don't know if it's. I'm worried it's going to be past its due date.
Well, we'll see how fast they get to that. I don't even know if they're going to pull the trigger on it as of yet. Thank you very much for the phone call, Jake. Do we have to go over what we say and we don't say on the radio?
Maybe. It's been a while.
That's fine for podcasts.
I'm out of practice.
We don't have... All right. Oh, boy. We'll see if we get to SummerSlam on this show. Let's do some feedback. Everything's broken, including my co-host, apparently.
Chop.
All right. So let's go to feedback here. We had a few people write in, both on Twitter, which is at SNME Radio, and on the Facebook as well, which, cool, we hit 2,000 members on the Facebook group. We use a group just for something different. So here we go with a few notes from tonight. Congrats. This is from Mark. Congrats to the Pittsburgh crowd for finally solving the mystery. Roman Reigns wasn't the most hated part of WWE tonight. It's true. They put him in the middle of the card and he lost.
Yep.
I do think that, as we've talked about, that should have been the main event tonight.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The crowd would have been so happy.
Douglas says, overall, not a bad show. It was the right choice and a somewhat surprise that the Iron match went last, but I can't help figure the only reason this happened was because they had Roman lose his match, and as an added plus, the pay-per-view didn't run over, and Sunday night's main event didn't have to wait till around 3:30 to start their show. So I guess he's listening, what, 3:30 p.m. or 3? Anyhow, yeah, that was the best part of the show for me, Mouth, is the fact that we started at 11
actually
tonight.
Because I believe the last two times I've done this with you on pay-per-view nights, we didn't either, both of them ran over.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been the way that things have gone.
Yeah.
T-Bear says, for me, the issue isn't attention spans. This is in regards to the Iron Man match.
Oh, yeah.
He says, it's the clock. The audience knows nothing of importance will happen until less than 5 minutes remaining. We've had a recent epic Okada-Omega matches that were long, and Seth even recently had long matches on Raw that were fantastic. Okay, so you brought
up the
Seth matches to defend yourself there, because I would say that you can't compare Okada-Omega because you can't compare those audiences.
Yeah, that's true, too. A New Japan audience would never try to sabotage a show.
There you
right?
have it.
Like that would never happen. And I honestly think that they were trying to, by having those, like, because I was kind of surprised, well, I think we both were, that there was a fall within the first 5 minutes. And I think what they were trying to kind of circumvent that thought that nothing happens until the last 5 minutes by having those falls early in the match, so that I think they were trying to hook the crowd and go, oh, look at this, everything's not happening at the end, we've got stuff happening here, but the crowd just wasn't buying it.
Now, the crowd is the most debated part of this show tonight, because John writes in and says, you know, if you watch Ring of Honor shows from Pittsburgh, it's a completely different reaction. Those are hardcore fans who also attend WWE. Therein, I think that's the difference. The WWE universe itself hates the product and they want it known. There is a certain us versus them mentality. And this, I find, is brought about by the WWE's booking decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of this is the WWE continually saying, and Vince McMahon continually saying, you don't know what you want. I know what you want. And that thing right now, above anything else, is Roman Reigns.
Yep.
And there have just been certain things that were not pushed that the crowd wanted. Back in the day, Daniel Bryan having to overcome everything.
I still believe to this day, Jay, that part of the flack about Roman is they wanted Bryan at that time,
mm-hmm.
and he forced Reigns on him, and they didn't get Bryan. And I still think to this day it's part of that reaction. Even though Bryan's back now and he's working, and although I don't know if he should be fooling around with Kane in a tag match, but I still think that people are upset because they didn't get Bryan when they wanted Bryan. And you know what? If you want to show your disdain for the product, why would you buy a high-priced ticket and go just to be a smart aleck? Why wouldn't you just not buy?
Stop
watching the product.
Yeah, not
That's your best way to show them that you're dissatisfied.
That or the funny
or
thing
Or go
is,
to All In. Everybody go to Madison Square and go to the All In.
Well, that's
you know,
not
sorry, but
different.
go to those shows.
Support that product.
Yeah, go to All
saying.
In. Go see Ring of Honor and New Japan at Madison Square Gardens instead.
More about the Iron Man match here. Tweeting in an hour Iron Man for sure. And half hour I don't know what that means. We need the right workers to keep the fans entertained for the whole length, which is really hard to do with the social media age when our attention spans are a few seconds in length. Well, here's the thing, as brought up by another person who tweeted in, Seth Rollins is probably the right guy to do that match, though, and was brought up that without the time restraint, Rollins has worked about an hour on Raw a few weeks ago, and thus maybe Ziggler, I guess, could have been the problem there because people have lost so much faith in the Ziggler character and the stop and start. So maybe they were unhappy with Ziggler being in that position. It was rather jarring having Dolph Ziggler in a main event on a pay-per-view.
Sure enough, but as you just said, the two of them had a wicked match. When they changed the title in that match where Ziggler won it from Rollins on Raw, that match was fantastic, and that crowd loved that match. There was no fooling around. There was no attacking the match. I don't think he can just put the blame on Dolph Ziggler. I think, to me, I was excited to see this because the previous match had been very good, and I thought, okay, these guys are going to work even harder and make a great match. So, again, I don't think you can put it on Ziggler. I just think it's the crowd, you know, They just want to upset things. I really get that impression that they're there to mess with things.
All right. Well, hopefully our fans do not mess with us more than the studio has tonight. Thank you all for dealing with the phone problems. Thank you for some of you for calling in. Mouth, thank you for being here. And I do hope to have you back each and every week.
That's what we're shooting for, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you check out the Saturday night's main or Sunday
night's
main
event Patreon.
Exactly. Check it out.
Patreon.com/SNME Radio is where you can go and go contribute there. I'll have updates each and every week while I'm here. We'll talk to you next week on Sunday night's main event.
The world of MLW Radio never stops.